The Old Testament reading today is from the book of Genesis, chapter 2, verses 18 through 24. Then the Lord God said, "It is not good that man should be alone. I will make him a helper as his partner." So out of the ground, the Lord God formed every animal of the field and every bird of the air and brought them to the man to see what he would call them. And whatever the man called every living creature, that was its name. The man gave names to all cattle and to the birds of the air and to every animal in the field. But for the man, there was not found a helper as his partner. So the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon the man, and he slept. Then he took one of his ribs and closed up its place with flesh. And the rib that the Lord God had taken from the man, he made into a woman and brought her to the man. Then the man said, "This at last is bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. This one shall be called woman, for out of man this one was taken. Therefore a man leaves his father and his mother and clings to his wife, and they become one flesh." This is the word of God.
Good. Hi, Eliana. Right here. And your little brother Ezra came forward too.
Yeah.
So you've been in Sunday school and you've been learning about creation. And who's the creator? Jesus, God. And what did he create?
Us.
Everything. The world, everything. And what did we just hear when Bob was reading from Genesis? God. Okay, well, he said, it's not good for man to be alone. Well, when he says man, he's not just talking about man as in men, but Adam represents the first human. It's not good for human beings to be alone. Have you ever tried to do something on your own and you're in over your head? And you try and try to do it and you can't do it on your own. Maybe it's something that's too heavy to lift or move. So what do we have to do? Ask for help. Right. And there are many of us who find ourselves having difficult times in our life. This week as a church, we've had a difficult time. We've lost some members of our church, and now they're with Jesus. And the people who have lost their loved ones, they can't do it on their own. And they need our help. Just like we need help when someone is helping us move a piece of furniture, right? So, what's one way that we can help people in our church? Oh. Apparently, I need help with this microphone. We can pray for people. We can ask our mom and dads to help take people meals. And when we need help, we can remember that God said it's not good for human beings to be alone. And so that was why God made Eve for Adam, so that he had a friend and he had a companion. So, would you like to pray together? Let's pray an echo prayer. God, our Creator. Thank you that you created us to not be alone. And thank you that we have each other.
Thank you that we have each other.
Go play.
To help one another. And to love one another. Help us to love people in our church.
Help us to love people in our church.
Who might need our prayers. And our love.
And our help.
In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. It's so great to see you. Have a great day.
The New Testament reading today is from the book of Hebrews, chapter 1, verses 1 through 4, and chapter 2, verses 5 through 12. Long ago, God spoke to our ancestors in many and various ways by the prophets. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by a son, whom he appointed heir of all things, through whom he also created the worlds. He is the reflection of God's glory, and the exact imprint of God's very being, and he sustains all things by his powerful word. When he had made purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the Majesty on high, having become as much superior to angels as the name he has inherited is more excellent than theirs. Now God did not subject the coming world about which we are speaking to angels, but someone has testified somewhere, "What are human beings that you are mindful of them, or mortals that you care for them? You have made them for a little while lower than the angels. You have crowned them with glory and honor, subjecting all things under their feet. Now in subjecting all things to them, God left nothing outside their control. As it is, we do not yet see everything in subjection to them. But we do see Jesus, who for a little while was made lower than the angels, now crowned with glory and honor because of the suffering of death, so that by the grace of God he might taste death for everyone. It was fitting the God for whom and through whom all things exist, in bringing many children to glory, should make the pioneer of their salvation perfect through sufferings. For the one who sanctifies and those who are sanctified all have one Father. For this reason, Jesus is not ashamed to call them brothers and sisters, saying, I will proclaim your name to my brothers and sisters. In the midst of the congregation, I will praise you. This is God's word. Book of Mark, chapter 10, verses 2 through 16. Some Pharisees came, and to test him they asked, Is it lawful for a man to divorce his wife? He answered them, What did Moses command you? They said, Moses allowed a man to write a certificate of dismissal and to divorce her. But Jesus said to them, Because of your hardness of heart, he wrote this commandment for you. But from the beginning of creation, God made them male and female. For this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. So they are no longer two, but one flesh. Therefore, what God has joined together, let no one separate. Then in the house, the disciples asked him again about this matter. He said to them, Whoever divorces his wife and marries another commits adultery against her. And if she divorces her husband and marries another, she commits adultery. People were bringing little children to him in order that he might touch them. And the disciples spoke sternly to them. But when Jesus saw this, he was indignant and said to them, Let the little children come to me. Do not stop them, for it is to such as these that the kingdom of God belongs. Truly I tell you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God as a little child will never enter it. And he took them up in his arms, laid hands on them, and blessed them. This is the word of God.
We've had quite the week, haven't we? We still feel it today. And I'm not going to lie, I don't have a funny story or anything to share today. But I can say that I feel like I'm a different person than I was before the beginning of the week. And that God has done a work in my life through being able to minister and grieve with and love and be loved by the Atchison and the Helms family. I am thankful for those of you who were able to come to the memorial service yesterday. There was a lot of good stories shared, and Marcia had so much joy to give us and to give her family. And today's texts, I just kept thinking about the family and about Marcia from this text, because Mark and Marcia had a fireproof marriage. They made each other a priority, and that impacted me and made me look at my wife and my children in a whole different light. That after this week, I don't want to take them for granted. And I hope that you don't want to take your loved ones for granted. That even there was a Tanya who was a her cousin, Tanya Blumhoff. She stood up and she shared from her heart, and she looked us all and she said, even if your loved ones know that you love them, make sure you still tell them you love them. Don't miss an opportunity. And that really spoke to me. So, honey, I love you. Eliana, I love you. Ezra, I love you. And here we have Jesus. Last week we talked about how Jesus is continuing to address the disciples and their self-deception and their tendency to competition, to division. And thankfully, this week, instead of division, there was unity. And there was coming together. And there was a focus on keeping relationships and keeping one another and keeping God the main thing. That we were at our end of ourselves and we needed help. And God made us to where it's not good for us to be on our own. And so we have to cry out to God. And we have to look to one another and we have to support one another. And we have and we will. And so that gives me hope. That gives me hope in the power of the resurrection of Jesus Christ in our lives and in Alpha. And Jesus saw through their self-deception and he challenged them and made them think about how they're handicapped by their spirit of competition or by trying to do things on our own. And so we can ask for help and we can look to God to give us our plans and our vision and look to God to help us with the way that we go about things and look to God to help us change the way we see one another. Amen? So here we have the Pharisees, the opposition, the religious establishment who have hounded and hounded and hounded Jesus in public. And they come to him again. And it says they came to test him. Remember when Jesus was in the desert and he was being tempted by Satan? He said to Satan, "Do not put the Lord your God to the test." And here they are coming to test, to tempt, to try to trip up the Son of God. And they ask him, Is it lawful for a man to divorce his wife? And Jesus answers them, "Well, what did Moses command you?" And they said, "Well, Moses allowed a man to write a certificate of dismissal and to divorce her." Let's pause right there. Dismissal. So, how do you think that they saw the wives and the women in this situation? They didn't see them. They saw them as disposable, as something that could just be written off, as objects. We see that today. Especially in our advertising, we see how women are objectified as objects, something to look at. A company will use a supermodel and scantily, you know, clothing to sell a cheeseburger. I mean, come on. What is that doing to us and how we view each other in our relationships? It teaches us to see one another as a means to an end, and that end is self-gratification. That's not what God intended for us. God intended for us to see the image of God in one another. And that if you want to see God, you look at a relationship, especially between a mother and a father, or a man and a woman, a husband and wife, or even between a friend and a friend. God is in relationship as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Jesus never referred to God without referring to him as his Father. He came to do his Father's will. Jesus didn't have his own agenda. Jesus was always in relationship. But they're looking at the surface. They're looking at the doing. Is it lawful? They're trying to find out, well, what can I get away with without going across this line? And Jesus is saying, you already crossed the line by looking at the divorce instead of looking at what God intended in the first place. And so Jesus says to them, because of your hardness of heart, he wrote this commandment for you. But from the beginning, that is before Moses, from creation, God made them male and female. For this reason, a man shall leave his mother and father and be joined, united, become one with his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. So they are no longer two, but one flesh. Therefore, what God has joined together, let no one separate. What God has joined together, let no one separate. See, here in the church, as disciples of Jesus, as followers of Jesus, as our Lord and Savior and our Master and our Teacher, we are more than just individuals. But when we have the Holy Spirit in us, we are one with Christ. Paul says it this way. He says, I have died. I have died to sin. I have died to self. And I have, it's not me that lives, but Christ that now lives in me. We die to sin and self, and we live in Christ. We are taken up in Christ. That's what it means when we're baptized. We go into the water, or the water is poured on us, and we are identified with Jesus, reenacting his baptism, stepping into the story to where what God wants for Jesus, God wants for us. He wants to make us perfect through our sufferings. He wants to make us like Christ to where we see people instead of just problems. He wants us to be like Christ to where we live and walk knowing with full confidence that we are beloved of God and that he provides for us and will lead us and will not forsake us. And when we come to communion, it's kind of like a big wedding feast. In the book of Revelation, it talks about how there's the wedding supper of the Lamb. And the church is the bride, and Jesus is the bridegroom. Now, when you have a bride, the bride tries to be as pure as possible and is radiant and beautiful, the most beautiful they've ever been. The hair is all done. The makeup is perfect. The dress has been picked out for weeks. They've been dreaming about this day. And Jesus is our bridegroom. And through our sufferings, we are becoming perfect. When we suffer with others, when we have compassion with others, when we feel sorry with and not just sorry for, God is making us perfect and preparing us to be ready for when Jesus comes back and establishes his kingdom to where we can see it and feel it and taste it. We get a glimpse of it right now in the church. But when he returns, all our relationships will be made right. There'll be no more crying or death. There'll be no more sin or suffering. Because we'll all be together and we'll all, in Mark's words, love one another twice as much. And it says that when Jesus responds to them, because the disciples ask him again, and Jesus goes to the heart of it, behind it. He actually goes to the intention of these commandments, because the Ten Commandments is behind this prohibition, and says, whoever divorces his wife and marries another commits adultery against her. Against her. And if she divorces her husband and marries another, she commits adultery. Now, I'm not saying that Jesus, I have to preface this, I'm not saying that Jesus is condemning people today who experience hardship to where there's infidelity or abuse, or it just wasn't going to work because they may be of different faiths and there's divorce. This isn't about divorce. The issue is about adultery. And adultery is a breach of the covenant of love that you make at your marriage. Adultery is the opposite of faithfulness. Adultery is opposite of the character of God. God is faithful, and we are to be faithful to one another. Like we've been faithful this week to one another as we've surrounded the Atchisons and the Helms family in their tragedy and their loss. And here, people begin to bring little children to Jesus again in order that he might touch them. And the disciples spoke sternly to them. The disciples saw the children again as probably disposable or discarded or unimportant. And Jesus says, no, I'm going to show you how important they are, because he just goes ahead and takes them up and touches them and blesses them and embraces them. And he turns the tables on them and says, it says, Jesus saw this and he was indignant. He was angry. angry at this injustice. Angry as we might get when we see people being mistreated who didn't do anything wrong. Like at school, if people are teased because they have a disability. Or if people are grieving when people come and they picket a funeral because of, someone has a different lifestyle choice and they picket someone's funeral. Well, these people are grieving. That's not right. That's unjust. That makes me angry to think about. So Jesus is angry. I can just see him clenching his teeth and saying, "Let the children come to me. Do not stop them." And he says, "For it is such as these children who are not discarded, who are not dismissed, who are not disposable, who are not objects, that the kingdom of God belongs. Truly I tell you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God as a little child will never enter it." And he took them in his arms, he laid his hands on them, and he blessed them. See, the kingdom of God is not something that we can do to earn or obtain. The kingdom of God is a gift to be received and experienced and welcomed. So my prayer is today that as we come to this communion table, as we celebrate and anticipate this wedding feast of the Lamb, anticipating the church becoming pure and Jesus coming to be united with us and to lead us and to be the visible head of his body, the church, that we can receive the bread and the cup, and we can receive the kingdom of God as children of God, beloved and poor and needy before him, knowing that we are in need of his love. And all we have to give is the love that we received to him. Let's pray. God, thank you that you love us. Thank you that we are your children. And thank you, Lord, that even through this difficult time, Lord, you will nurture us and guide us. And Lord, when we pray to you, may we see ourselves as being brought up into your lap and embraced and hugged, and that you tousle our hair and you just enjoy being with us, Lord. And may that love for us spill over into our relationships, that we would just enjoy every moment we have with one another, especially with our families. Guide us now as we come to your table. In Jesus' name, amen. Friends, brothers and sisters, I know I needed that moment to just come and kneel and be before the Lord. And I'm thankful that we were able to take our time and to receive what God had to give us today. And may the grace that God has given us overflow into our lives this week. The Methodist moment for today is to celebrate. In the Methodist Church, we have confirmation. And confirmation is where it was originally intended for youth and children who were born in the church. Their parents made a commitment as already being baptized and being faithful disciples of Jesus, and for the church to help raise the children in God's prevenient or grace that goes before to prepare them when they come of age to make their own decision and to profess faith in Christ themselves. And so confirmation is a process of learning what it means to be the church and what it means to be a Christian, what it means to be a disciple, to become acquainted with the whole of Scripture and how it all fits together. And we celebrate that. And so confirmation starts today at 5:30 to 7:30. It's the first and third Sundays of the month. Lindy Kernan, our lay leader, is going to be helping teach. And I'm very thankful that we have two more students who have offered to go through the journey of confirmation with us. And I want to ask and invite and ask the congregation to pray. We will be prayerfully looking for and seeking out mentors, whether it's a couple or an adult who would be willing to mentor, to serve as a mentor, and to pray for them, and to periodically, probably once a month, try to meet with them, to lead them in this journey as they grow to become a disciple of Jesus. and a valued and awesome member of this church, that God will give them a ministry, and I, as pastor, can help them grow in their faith, to learn about God and His Word, and to support them so I can help equip them for ministry here. Thank you. Receive this benediction. May you walk in the belovedness of being a child of God, made in God's image, and being made perfect through our sufferings together as the church, the body of Christ. And may we be a comfort and a loving presence of Jesus with others this week. Amen.